shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic?
Hello all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren.
Well, what do you want? What's if you have a 5-hour layover in Phoenix, what is there to do?
What the fuck? How do you have a 5-hour layover in Phoenix?
I know, I could walk to fucking Dallas quicker.
Oh my god, someone could definitely come and get you and bring you back.
What's there to look at in Phoenix other than sand?
I know that they have, it might be the rainy time of year, so maybe there will be rain.
Oh good, so now it's flooded because they don't have any drainage on the streets.
Gosh, you're going from a major airport to a major airport. How
I'm
did
not
you
going
end up
a major airport? That's the thing. And Vancouver can suck my dick on all counts because they like to say Vancouver International Airport, it is fucking not because it closes. You cannot have an international airport that closes. Yeah.
What do
you
mean
know,
it closes?
I don't know another way. Sometimes you go to Starbucks. Can you get in if it's 4 a.m? No, because it's closed. If you go to Vancouver International Airport, and you have a flight that's at like 6 a.m, well, you can't check in until 4 because it's closed.
Oh, okay. Wait, but how do they, why do they schedule for dicks in the morning if they're not open at dicks in the morning?
You would have to ask the geniuses over at Vancouver International Airport, who apparently think that when it's nighttime here, it's nighttime everywhere.
I still don't understand.
It is a
why
regional
you are
airport at best. I'm from Dallas. I know what DFW is. There's 5 fucking terminals at DFW Airport. That's an international airport. And does it close? It does not. Because it's the world doesn't close. Vancouver International is not. It is fucking regional. On a good day.
Technically, Portland is an international airport.
Does
even
it close?
It's teeny. Like, not technically. You can still walk in the doors at any point. You can, like, sleep on some benches. Well, they don't run out really benches, but some chairs overnight if you have an early flight. I've done that.
Anywho, no, Vancouver International sucks. Well, God, I feel like such a... It is fun becoming a boomer. Like, just being able to be angry about everything.
I'm so confused. Every time we get on, it's just like, all these things, it all sucks. And I'm just like, okay.
I have, I've told you my, Snake Man dream, right?
No.
Well, it's like when I'll be the best old man because I'm just going to carry snakes in my pockets. And they'll be harmless, but, you know, people are afraid of snakes. And so...
Have you ever gotten bitten by a non-venomous snake?
I mean, a grass snake, but they don't count.
How big was it?
Oh, like the size of my pinky finger?
I've gotten bitten by non-venomous snakes of various sizes from size of my pinky finger to, like... I don't know. Like, probably almost the length of a couch. You know, if you really rolled it out.
If you stretched him out as far as he could go and then popped his back.
Yeah. When they get bigger, they really hurt. And, it clamped down on me hard enough that, like, my hands started welling blood. Like, it just bruised, and then it was, like, blood came out of my pores.
Those blood blisters? Oh, like when you pinch really hard. Yeah.
Well, that's what they do. They just pinch super hard.
Well, that'll be okay. Because in the scenario, I'm imagining this will work out. And I'll keep them in big pockets of a big overcoat, because then I'll, like, do my boomer thing where I come into, like, a restaurant. It's like, I want a table! And they're like, we don't have any tables, Sarah. And I'm like, argh! And I throw a snake on the ground. And it's like, now you got 2 problems.
So now you're like some weird ass wizard.
Yeah. But it's like that. It feels one, you know, when you're old, you're just grumpy all the time. And 2, but the ability to conjure snakes seems to take it to the next level of terror. It's like in Gremlins. Do you remember? Did you see the movie Gremlins?
It was a very long time ago. very long time ago.
What I like about gremlins is the bad gremlin is called Stripe, right? And he has like a stripe of fur on the middle of his head that's white, a la Storm from the X-Men. And at the very end, you know how in, you know, monster movies, when you kill Jason or Freddy or whatever, he just comes back to life. Well, that doesn't happen with Stripe. At the climax of Gremlins, Stripe just gets a gun.
What?
That's so funny. It's like, here's a movie monster, and now he has a gun, and that's scarier.
I mean, yes, it is scarier.
Yeah, but it's like, imagine you're watching Jaws, and then all of a sudden Jaws just has a gun, and it's like, oh my god.
They should probably make a like shark disaster movie with a shark that has a gun.
Shark with a gun. Isn't there a video game out right now called Squirrel with a Gun?
I haven't heard of it.
Hang on. Oh, yep, there it is. Squirrel with a Gun.
Let me guess. You are a squirrel, and you have a gun.
And you have a gun! Fantastic. Fall 2024. It's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
Another very good title.
You like everything that's just like... describes it as it is.
I do. I love descriptive titles.
Yeah.
What questions could you have about this video game that aren't answered by the fucking title? It's like, if you have a game that's a very objectively good game called Elden Ring, well, what does that tell you? This is a useless title versus Squirrel with a Gun or
if you were
Farming
to give...
Simulator.
If you were to give Elden Ring a name like that, what would you give it?
Miyazaki's Poison Swamps.
Okay.
Seems to sum up 75% of the experience.
Okay.
Anywho, well, what are we reading today?
We're going to do The Oak and the Rose. Since we are nearing, scraping the very dregs of the barrel... The Oak and the Rose. An oak tree and a rose bush grew, young and green together, talking the talk of growing things, wind and water and weather. And while the rose bush sweetly bloomed, the oak tree grew so high that now it spoke of newer things, eagles, mountain peaks, and sky. I guess you think you're pretty great, the rose was heard to cry, screaming as loud as it possibly could to the treetop in the sky. And now you have no time for flower talk, now that you've grown so tall. It's not so much that I've grown, said the tree. It's just that you've stayed so small. And this is one of Shel Silverstein's least goofy drawings. It is a tall tree leaning over sort of like... the giving tree, but way, way, way taller. You can only see its trunk. And then just a budded rose that's at a base.
There is a subreddit called Starter Packs.
Mm.
This poem reminds me of the guy who peaked in high school. And there is a peaked in high school starter pack on Reddit. I am unnerved as to how many of these are actually true.
Okay.
The first one is... it's not a pyramid scheme, it's multi-level marketing. The only time I have, apropos of nothing, heard from people that I knew in high school was to try and sell me on MLMs.
Mm-hmm.
Notable.
Actually, no one has tried from my high school has tried to sell me on MLM. I think in part because I wasn't all that friendly in high school, and I'm still not all that friendly now.
Why do people put... this next one freaked me out, because I've seen multiple people do this. Is unemployed but has the Krusty Krab on their Facebook profile under work. Krusty Krab was the restaurant that SpongeBob worked at on SpongeBob SquarePants. Why is that? That's true. I have seen multiple Facebook acquaintances with that on there.
I don't think I have any. But also, I didn't really ever bother to friend that many people from high school. Then a lot of them didn't really bother to friend me. I think I told you that if we had a high school reunion, I never knew because I didn't get invited.
That's a testament, that is. You have left your mark. It's also the kind of people that put, like, the School of Hard Knocks under their alma mater, you know? Chin strap facial hair. Oof. That's painful. And still attends high school football games. Yeah, fair.
I don't know very much about any of this because I got the fuck out of where I grew up very yes. quickly. And so I don't even know who remained, and I couldn't even tell you who peaked in high school because I never saw them again. So maybe they went on to have glorious lives, and except for a few that died shortly after high school that I heard about, I would never know if they peaked in high school or not.
Sorry, that was, and The Oak and the Rose is a very nice poem about this exact thing, growing beyond one's surroundings and improving, and suddenly, or, you know, I'm also reminded of The Banshees of Inisherin, where one character wants to grow as a person and the other is comfortable just with the status quo. So, yeah, peaked in high school. Thanks, Reddit, for giving me a talking point.
I think I would, definitely when I was young and felt like I had a lot more to prove, I would have felt about this poem that, yes, I am the oak, I got so tall, and maybe all the silly, ditzy, pretty girls that peaked in high school remain so small. But as I've gotten older, I'm just like, man, the arrogance is unwarranted. I'm not really, I never really was. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe I was a special little brilliant young person, but I have become a mediocre adult, and I probably should never have had so much arrogance. Although, I don't know, I think arrogance is becoming on the young.
I mean, well, respectfully disagree with that one, but...
Which part?
Having worked in education for a while, arrogance is becoming on the young if they know what arrogance is and they're not just assholes.
I was looking up... narcissistic personality disorder for reasons, and and I came to some narcissistic personality disorder subreddits where the people who are on there have narcissistic personality disorder, and it was really pretty boring because they're all quite young. And I remember having quite a bit of narcissism when I was young and hot and thought I was talented as fuck. And I mean, I want young people to have a certain level of unwarranted confidence.
I was talking to my therapist about narcissism, and I was bringing up points about myself that I think are narcissistic that I found were worrying that I needed to work on. And she said, don't worry, I don't think you have narcissistic personality disorder. People with narcissistic personality disorder don't think they're narcissists. And I went, I don't think that's how that works. I think they're extremely proud of it.
On the subreddit, these people have been diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. Most of them aren't proud of it. A lot of them, at least if they're on there, they're there because they're unhappy with their inability to form relationships that are meaningful with people.
And trying to grow, not unlike the oak in this poem. God, we're circling back a lot.
I mean, that's the goal, right, of this podcast, is to talk about the poem and then, well, try to remain talking about it, which we don't really do.
We don't do that, like, ever.
No.
We do talk a lot about therapy on this podcast. Or if not, like, actual therapy sessions, things that, like, these conversations would happen in therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I found that I never went with the popular boys when I was a lad. Of course, I would see how my father would look at the boys on my football team that were bigger and stronger than me, and I think it did affect me psychologically. Oh, what's that? Next week, doctor? Oh, okay.
I need to go back into therapy. I haven't been in therapy in so long, mainly because insurance is generally so unstable, and even when I have private insurance through a job, they're like always changing it, and I'm just like, what the fuck? I can't really, like, maintain my doctors. The one that I'm always trying to maintain the greatest is my nephrologist. And all the others, I'm just like, well, it would be nice if I could keep the same doctor, but...
I got... I get benefits through my work, and they assign me a therapist, and I can choose. Like, if I don't get on with the therapist, I can pick a different one. But the most recent one I had, I'm going to change because I have never had a Russian therapist before. Let me tell you, that is fan-fucking-tastic. That is a catharsis of a therapy session. It has never been more, like, by the book. Uh-huh. And how does that make you feel? And what should we do about that? Very good. That is the right answer. Now, what else is on your mind? It's just awesome.
Isn't having a combination of private and public insurance the best? Fucking
no,
awesome.
No, there's no doctors.
I mean, just payment-wise, but...
No, payment-wise, it's pretty okay. Yeah. I'm a fan of that.
No, I mean, everybody's like, oh, you know, the thing about socialized healthcare is you don't have any doctors. I'm like, do you know how fucking long it takes for me to get any kind of appointment with our private medicine?
Mm.
Really fucking long time.
The worst
it's
part
not
of
really
it is,
better here.
I mean, like, the worst part is the best medical care I ever had was, ironically, in Texas, where I had amazing insurance and there were a fucking billion doctors.
Yeah, no, there's like shortages of everything here too. So I have to go in, but I have to go in tomorrow for they make me jump through hoops for my ADD medication. And
what kind of hoops? Yeah.
Oh, like I have to go in every 3 months and get drug tested. And also they put in prescriptions for like refills, but I can't actually get the refills just by any automatic system. I have to call and ask for the refills.
Are they
so like?
What are they testing you for? Like fentanyl?
Well, anything except they want to test me to make sure that I am on the stimulant that I'm supposed to be on, and that I'm not on anything else. And
fucking narcs.
Yeah, and the annoying thing is I'm not always testing positive for the stimulant that I'm supposed to be on because I don't take it every day. I take it as needed. But they just put all these incredibly convoluted. Like things that require a certain amount of executive functioning to complete.
Wait, but executive functioning, that's what the pills. Oh no, wait, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. Take your meds, kids. Grow big like Theo.
Or if you're like me, you take them as needed.
PRN.
The other thing this poem reminded me of and is The Little Prince again.
Oh,
because in The Little Prince, the prince has this rose that he nurtures, and the rose talks to him, and the rose is very vain and selfish, and but the prince loves her anyway. But eventually, he decides that he wants to travel the stars, and so similar in this, where he outgrows the rose, he does eventually come back to her, although by then she's pretty much wasted away with neglect.
I mean, wouldn't she come back the next year?
What?
The rose, wouldn't it bloom again? If it's on the bush. I mean, like, I assume he didn't pick it and take it to the stars. It would have died much quicker then.
No, he left his rose there.
So it was still, like, on the bush? Or was this, like, a Beauty and the Beast situation where it's, like, under a glass thing?
It's not a... I mean, we're referring to the entire plant as the rose.
Oh. So once rose bushes... Like, they just die that quickly?
If you're on...
The reason I'm asking questions about this functioning is my parents had a rose bush in the house that I grew up in. And I don't remember them ever doing shit with it, but it bloomed every year, so...
It was inside the house?
No. It was a bush. Like, it was outside the house.
Right. Well, I'm sure it got water from the soil. This is... I mean, look, this is a fictional story where the author has put some kind of, like... environmental constraints on the growth of this rose.
And here I am questioning the wilting of a rose where you just told me where the prince takes to the stars.
Yes, it's on planet
B612 bodies that the werewolves are putting in the ovens.
It's on B612. I don't really know much about B612's like green zone or whatever. All I know is there are all these baobab trees that he has to uproot or they will crush this tiny planet, and like the rose isn't a baobab, and he's like, oh, what's this is great.
Well, all right.
I never read The Little Prince. I only saw this Little Prince, like, I think anime when I was a kid, but I watched it over and over and over again.
And what was
I
the name of the show? B612?
No, that's the planet. The planet is called
B612. Oh, okay. Huh.
The animation was called The Little Prince.
Oh, there it is. Oh, suddenly this makes a lot more sense. Oh, how sweet.
It is sweet. I recommend watching it. I haven't seen it in years. I should probably watch it again.
B612, they named an actual asteroid for the Little Prince.
That's adorable.
It's a 46610 Bay 612. Cute.
That's adorable. That's really heartwarming.